The Holy Gospel according to Mark. But in those days after that suffering, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then the Son of Man will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know then that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows. Neither the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey, when he leaves his home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at the cockcrow, or at dawn. Or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There was quite a crime this past week. You might have seen it on the news. It happened in the southern United States. This crime involved a celebration, a cultural event known as Black Friday. The great day after Thanksgiving, after our tummies are full, that all Americans rush to the stores to get huge discounts on electronics, sporting goods, housewares, clothes, you name it. Apparently a large retailer had toasters on sale for $4 a toaster. An amazing price. People have lined up since the night before. They camped in tents at the doors of this retailer to secure themselves their toaster. The doors were open, the crowd flooded in. People started grabbing toasters, pushing one another, looking for the deals. But one man had a thought. What if I could disperse the crowds, he said to himself. So he opened a can of tear gas. He pulled out his mask. As the crowd fled, he grabbed all his toasters. What a silly idea. It is less than 1 month of shopping days left till Christmas. As a pastor, I have this constant fight between the life that I live in the world, the Christmas carols, the parties, the jingling, the good cheer, the Santa imagery, the shepherds and angels, and the fact that I know that we are not in the Christmas season, that we are in the season of Advent. That we are in a season that calls us not into shopping, that calls us not to Bethlehem, but we are in a season that calls us to the future time of the new heaven and new Jerusalem. We are in a season that calls us not to a baby born 2,000 years ago to immigrant parents. We are called not back to a manger. We are called not back to wise men, but we are called as Christians forward. We are called forward to a restoration of our relationship with God, a restoration between good destroying evil, a restoration of the environment, a restoration of our heavenly homes that were intended for us before the fall. But yet we are a world that chooses to forsake the Advent time. We do not look forward. Walk through the aisles of any retailer. Listen to what is playing on the radio. See the movies and shows on television. And it's very clear that we are people being called backwards, not forwards. As Christians called to live towards the future, to wait for that great eschaton, that great final day, that new heaven and new Jerusalem, we have allowed ourselves to be pulled back in time. We are walking forward as God pulls us to that miraculous day, but the problem is our head is over our shoulders, never seeing what is coming. And we are lulled into a sense of security, a sense that Christ would say, sleep, of drunkenness, of dullardness. We are pulled back to that manger and that stable. And I understand why, because that is the Jesus Christ that the world loves. The world loves the baby wrapped in linen. The world loves this little newborn infant held by parents with camels and goats and donkeys and sheep meowing and mewing and cawing. We love the angels and the trumpets and the shepherds showing up. We love our children dressing up in dad's old house coat, the girls wearing their big wings. We love that story. We love that Messiah. That is the Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior of the world that we can embrace. Because that is a Savior, that is a Messiah that demands nothing. It is but a baby. Helpless, harmless, useless. On that baby, we can see ourselves. That baby does not call us to any sort of repentance. That baby does not call us to any sort of action. That baby does not hold us to account. That baby just lies in the manger. And the world comes to worship the baby and pay respect and tribute to the baby. And 2,000 years later, we are going to the baby. And we are saying, oh, how cute the baby is. And we are cuddling it. And we are pinching its cheeks. And we are saying nice things about the baby. And we'll gather on Christmas Eve and we'll bring gifts like the wise men before us to the baby. We like the baby. But the baby is impotent. The baby has not spoken a word. The baby has not performed a miracle. The baby has not cast the money changers out of the temple. The baby has not challenged the Pharisees. The baby has not seen John the Baptist. The baby has not been arrested. The baby has not been crucified. And the baby has surely not rose from the dead. It is a baby like any other. Helpless and harmless. All it asks of us is our attention, our well wishes, our good thoughts, our support, and our care. That is the Jesus of Nazareth. That is the Messiah. That is the Son of God the world wants to pull us to. The harmless, undemanding baby. Cute and cuddling, wrapped in bands of swaddling cloth. And all we can do is stare and look. But we are people of the resurrection. We are people that know what that baby becomes, how that baby grows, the words that that baby will say, the miracles that baby will perform, the man, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that baby will become. And that is a man that challenges us. That is a man that sends us forward. That is a man that says, blessed are the poor, blessed are the meek, blessed are the persecuted, the reviled, the hungry, you name it. That is the man. That is the Messiah that threatened the foundations of the world. That is the Messiah that challenges sin, death, and the devil. And that is the Messiah that walks out of the tomb triumphantly. That is the Messiah that we should be looking for during this period of Advent. For the next 4 weeks, all of our readings will be about the same theme. Stay awake, be on guard, for Christ is coming again. But His return will be very different than His first entrance. He will not come as a baby born in some nondescript manger somewhere. He will not come wrapped in bands of cloth and swaddling linens. The cows and the sheep and the goats won't be mewing and gawing. He will come back, we are told, in the clouds. He will come back not with the cloth. He will come back not with the stars, but he will come back with the sword, we are told. Brother separated from brother. Family split apart. We are told this will not be the return of the baby, but this will be the return of the Messiah. So we are told, stay awake, be alert, be on guard. Christ uses the metaphor or the imagery as us, servants, helpers, employees, whatever word you want to use, caring for the Master's home, possession, world, until he returns. And when he returns, we are told, he will take account. Be awake. Be on guard. Be ready. That is how Advent combats this Christmas creep. This idea that Christmas starts the day after Remembrance Day. And it starts with the Santa Claus and the carols and the lights and the little babies and Hallmark cards and angels and trumpets and donkeys, you name it. If that becomes this season, if that becomes our Christmas, if that becomes our Advent, then we're stuck. We're stuck worshiping this little baby. And it's an attractive image because this little baby has done nothing wrong. This little baby does not challenge us. This little baby does not hold us to account. And this little baby surely does not make us feel uneasy. But that's not what we worship. We don't worship the baby. We worship Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Son of God, Prince of Peace, Messiah. Jesus is Lord. This is the Jesus that challenges us, the Jesus that calls us, and the Jesus that sends us forward not only into the world, but into the future, into that restoration of the new heaven and the new Jerusalem. But this is not a Jesus the world has locked onto, because this Jesus is the exact opposite of the baby Jesus. The baby Jesus seems to unite us, because the baby Jesus doesn't do anything, doesn't say anything. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, seems to divide us. He calls sin, sin. He makes good known. He is the light of God shining into the dark places. And that is what leads to his arrest. That is what leads to his punishment. And that is what leads to his death. And that is what leads to his resurrection. Because who he is as the Son of God, as the Messiah, we are called to look forward to the return of Christ. Not to just look back to his birth, but to look forward to his return. If we simply exist in the past, then we are a people who are called to do nothing. We are a people who are called to say nothing. We are a people called to help no one, to sacrifice nothing, because we're living in the past. What difference does today or the future make if I am simply looking at the past? If all God has done and all God is going to do is back here, then what difference does my life make going forward? But that is not the message of God. The message of God is live for the future. Share the word of Christ. Share the love of God. Share the gospel. Share our gifts, share the Holy Spirit, because as we go forward, we multiply and we increase and we experience. Live in the here and now and look towards the future. In fact, Christ wants everyone to be so on guard, to not let themselves down. He says, look, this generation won't pass away before these things come true. Christ is saying, listen up, like a thief in the night. Things can change like that. And it's true. This is the human condition. We know how fragile our health is. We know how fragile our economy is. We know how fragile our human existence is, threatened by war, disease, drought, and plight. None of us is an island unto themselves. Like a thief in the night, our lives can change. What kind of security do we really have? Not much. And the same is true with the coming of God. Just because we woke up today and the sun rose, just because we might go to bed tonight and the moon comes, doesn't mean tomorrow will look the same. Don't assume that past events will predict future results. And the same is true with Christ. Don't assume that past events, His birth, will predict future results, because His coming will not be like the last time. He will not come with bands of swaddling cloth. He will not come in some nondescript manger. We are told this time He will come with power. We are told this time He will come to bring in new life. New life to the world. New life to us. A restoration of what God has intended for us. This is the good news of the Christmas miracle. The good news of the Christmas miracle isn't that God came into the world as a baby. The good news is that God came into the world to accomplish something. That God didn't stay a baby. That God came to speak the truth, to bring light into darkness, to show us how to live, to suffer on our behalf, and on the cross to liberate us from death. This is the miracle of Christmas. The miracle of Christmas is not found in birth, it's found in life. The life that Christ led and the eternal life that we have because of it. Do not let the world pull you back in time. Do not let the world put you asleep in dullness and drunkenness. Fight the world. Stay awake. Be aware that the day is surely coming of Christ's return. And it will not be like the former things. Amen.